Hi, I'm Lucille Ball speaking for the YWCA. One of the biggest jobs the YW has is helping women and girls who are lonely. Teens, adult women, older women today are often very alone and lonely with special problems in very personal ways. They come to the YW for help, for counseling, for understanding, for friendship and support, and they get that help. The YWCA.
Television comedy is returning to the screen tonight in a startlingly different role. Lucille Ball is starring in a CBS made-for-TV movie called Stone Pillow. I recently had a chance to talk with her about this unusual role.
I'm wasting away to nothing.
Well, you're the fattest nothing I've ever seen.
It's been 35 years since Lucille Ball first made her way onto the television screens of America. And what we remember most about her is the way she made us laugh.
Peggy, I'm going to have bells tied all over me, and I'm going to jiggle a tune.
You know, I've been married to you so long that that sounds logical.
Before she became Lucy, Lucille Ball appeared in many Hollywood movies, first as a glamorous showgirl and later in more serious roles. She hadn't discovered comedy, and yet, once she found it, she never let it go. That is, until now. Lucille Ball returns to television after an absence of 11 years as a bag lady living on the streets of New York. As Floribel, she lives out of garbage cans, sleeps on the streets, survives alone day to day. I wondered how great a risk this role was for Lucy.
Very big, because I haven't done anything in a long time, and I love Lucy, and all the reruns are around, and it's a little shocking to people to see me take such a different look.
What do you think people will think when they see Floribel?
Shocked at the direct change. And hopefully they'll care about her. I didn't want her to be just a beggar. Just someone gouging garbage cans. I wanted her to feel that she was earning her keep as little as her keep was. If she got a banana or a carrot or a head of lettuce or whatever.
Floribel befriends a young woman on the street. She teaches her how to survive out of garbage cans and protect herself from the seedier elements of homeless life.
Yeah, look at that. Smells good. Looks good, too. Take a sniff.
I found out how ignored they really are on the street. I worked the streets of New York for 33 days, and not a soul, not one person, came over to me as a bag lady and said anything, did anything, looked at me. I had a hard time getting lunch in a lunchroom, I'll tell you that. I wasn't allowed in.
Did you try?
Yes, I finally had to get special permission to go to one or two places where I could get a sandwich. So I had to have someone go with me and call ahead and say that because I was starving to death, because I would take the time to go to the place and they'd go, And I realized, of course, what am I doing?
Where's my cart?
It's right here. We brought it for you.
My whole life in that cart. I built it, I asked for the things. I said, I want a regular shopping cart, and on it I want bags hung a certain way, and in the bags I want certain things up where I need these things to use quickly in battle and whatnot, and my drinking water and things I want up front, and the apron I was wearing. I need certain things in there for quick consumption. And I just imagined it and didn't know quite how it would work out, but we had the makings of my survival kit.
Would you do another role like this again?
Oh, as Kate Hepburn would say, I'm probably going to be inundated with shopping bag lady scripts. But no, I don't want to do any more shopping bag ladies.
But you say you'd like to work and something else again.
Yeah, the scripts are few and far between.
You don't remember what you thought the first time you saw yourself dressed as Floribel in the mirror?
I thought, yes. That's the last time I want to look at me today.
You see, kid, you're in a jungle. It's like a bad dream, but you don't wake up.
Do they think you're crazy, Flora?
What?
Do they think you're crazy?
I hope so. But I'm not crazy. I'm smart.
You know, I was glad to do something for a homeless situation and tell about it and tell how it kind of comes about and what happens when you are homeless. You are without an address. And when you are without an address, you're in trouble. And not everyone out there on the street wants to be there. That I was sure of.
Lucille Ball. Well, I asked her whether she would like to do another TV comedy series. And she said, I don't want to try and outdo what I've already done. I just couldn't ask for anything better. So while we may be seeing her perhaps in other television movies along the way in the years to come, I doubt we'll see her in another full-time series.
Listening to her, Marie, I got the feeling that she got a very painful sense of what life is like out on the streets, and that's something most of us never bother to think about.
Well, she did, but she's very quick to point out that this is not a documentary. This is entertainment. She wanted to highlight the issue, but she didn't do it for that. She did it because the script was well written. She wanted to work with the director, and she just wanted to work again. She said she really missed going out and working, and this was a difficult script because she was in almost every shot, and it was in the summer in New York, and that's hot, but she was just very grateful to be working.
Sounds like a good film.
Now,
we'll be right
back. Weekend, and that means it's time to get set for Pat Collins' Weekend Guide. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning to you both. This weekend, Ed Asner and Eileen Brennan return to television on the pilot of an ABC sitcom called Off the Rack, a half-hour comedy that takes place in New York's garment district. Mr. Asner owns one half of a failing dress firm. The other half belongs to his ex-partner's widow. That's Miss Brennan, whose distinctive comic style can turn a knockoff into a designer original.
How much cash do we have?
Oh, the lifeblood of a business is not cash.
Sam, why is it when I talk to you, I feel like I need hip boots?
Mr. Asner seems ill-suited in the role of a mean-spirited cloak and suitor, but if the writers warm up his character and give the wonderful Miss Brennan good material, then ABC could have a hit and the network could sure use one. A new miniseries, On the Horizon, brings Ernest Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises to NBC Sunday night, with Jane Seymour as Lady Brett Ashley and Leonard Nimoy as the Russian Count with a past.
You were an assassin.
The word assassin implies a rather furtive, middle-class fanatic. I was not a fanatic.
Certainly not middle class.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes.
Do you still kill people?
Not professionally. I would have to be rather seriously provoked.
And then redhead Lucille Ball will be honored at an all-star party Sunday night. The stars include Cary Grant, Burt Reynolds, and Joan Collins. I wonder what they talked about backstage. And that's at 9 on CBS. And everyone's favorite mouse plays Bob Cratchit in Mickey's Christmas Carol, to be shown on the Disney Channel Sunday at 5, and that's 5 p.m., no matter what time zone you are in. And Johnny Cash has spent a lot of time on the road, but he's never had a more elegant setting for a special than Switzerland's Montreux Palace Hotel. Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson join Johnny for this Christmas show tonight at 8 on CBS. And how could I forget, last but not least, the Cabbage Patch Kids' first Christmas special tonight on ABC at 8, adding to their, already $3 billion business or whatever it is.
Including disposable diapers.
Why don't we think of things like this?
I don't know. It's because we get up too early in the morning.
I think so.
Off the Rack looks good. In any event, we've got more coming up this morning on the morning news. We've got a profile.
Pat Collins is winging her way to Hollywood to cover the Oscars, so we'll bring you the morning's entertainment news ourselves. That perennial favorite, The Wizard of Oz, finished first among the Nielsen top 10 last week, helping CBS lead the Nielsen ratings for the week. The top 10 primetime shows last week were Dynasty, Simon and Simon, The A-Team, Magnum P.I., Knott's Landing, 60 Minutes, Newhart, Kate and Ally, and a tie, The Wizard of Oz, and the NBC Sunday movie, Flight 90, Disaster on the Potomac. Lucille Ball, the woman Bob Hope calls the First Lady of Comedy, will be the subject of a 5-month exhibit at the Museum of Broadcasting in New York.
So why don't you join the thousands of happy, peppy people and get a great big bottle of Vitamita Vegemin tomorrow. That's Vitamita Vegemin. Myra Meta Midgemin. Myra Vitamita Midgemin.
Yesterday, Lucy held a news conference at the museum and talked about problems she ran into filming some of her TV shows, including the bit you just saw.
Long. It was 2 pages long. In different ways, you know. That was a real toughie to get through. And I was always proud of the fact that there were no cards there. I remember that.
Those were great.
They really were hard to top. Dianne Feinstein coming up in our next hour.
And Gregory Peck is going to be talking with Pat Collins about the Oscars. So stay with us.
It sounds like we can just about wrap it up. Pat Collins bases Los Angeles this week, and out there she has gotten the chance to go backstage at the taping of the latest Bob Hope special. So let's go to her for the whole story.
In the past, Bob Hope has taped his specials in foreign capitals, on the front lines, and on college campuses. But most of the shows are done right here at NBC in beautiful downtown Burbank. Over the past weekend, Mr. Hope and his friends gathered to tape the show that will air Friday night. A combination of goofs and outtakes from past shows, plus some new skits with Angie Dickinson, Lee Marvin, Milton Berle, and Lucille Ball.
Now, what piece of film are you going to embarrass me with tonight?
Embarrass you? Lucy, you remember the time you played a gangster's mall? I was the gangster and one of us tried to get fresh, huh?
No. Guess who tried to get fresh?
Give me that card back so I can do it right.
Lucille Ball and Bob Hope began working together in the movies in the 1930s. Their first film was not a comedy.
Girlfriend? Boy, do you have a got...
And kind of in the middle of the show, he decided to throw in a few jokes, and I didn't know Mr. Hope that well, and I got a little, not upset, but I wondered why he was throwing in jokes that didn't belong, I didn't think, and I was, because I was so interested in doing this serious piece with him, and so I said to the writers, I said, have you changed the script? And they said, no, but Bob thought a little joke here wouldn't know. I said, I don't think it's right. And he says, well, you tell him. Well, not knowing Mr. Hope, I said, well, all right. Went in, rapped on the door, and they went out like this. Not that Bob ever gets angry, but they didn't think he'd change his mind. But he did, and they never got over it.
Bob lives 10 minutes from NBC, the network he's been with since 1950. Back then, Hope was one of the few movie stars who agreed to appear in the new medium of television.
They threatened me. The exhibitors threatened me and said that if I went into television, I was through in pictures.
Really?
You're too young to remember this, but there was such a fight between television and pictures. When television came out and became a little popular, it started to empty the theaters because people stayed home and watched television because it was such a novelty thing. And we used to have a lot of jokes about it. Then came the marriage when the picture people found out they could sell their pictures to television. Wow. Here comes the money, you know?
You leave very little time between when you tape a show and when you air it. Why do you work that quickly?
With a monologue, you know, that has to be right up to the minute. In fact, if Gromyko doesn't meet Reagan, or Reagan doesn't meet Gromyko, I'm in trouble.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah, because I have that all filmed. I have their meeting all set, you know, and how that, you know, they had a wonderful, peaceful meeting, and it would have been more peaceful if Gromyko hadn't driven up in a tank.
I'm one of Bob Hope's biggest fans. I don't laugh too much at him. And Bob, if you're watching, I'm sorry. I can't laugh at you because I'm busy writing what you're saying. But, no, I'm kidding. I really like Bob Hope. And we've been friends. This is 84. That must be over 60 years.
Live television, that was the true comedian's favorite way of working, but it had its liabilities.
You got what you saw and you saw what you got. I mean, if they didn't laugh, they didn't laugh, baby, and there was a silence that you could have driven a truck through.
I hate to be a party pooper, but remember me?
Oh, pardon me for being rude. This is your wife, Shirley.
There are some guests who don't try to match wits with Mr. Hope. Lee Marvin, for one, knows better than to steal a line.
Well, I wouldn't even try. Are you joking? Oh, I mean, I'd stay home in bed before I try that.
He was wonderful to work with. Anytime you can make body contact with Bob, he's great because he has that leer and that look, and it just breaks you up.
One false move and you'll match the rest of your nose.
I have to tell you, Andrew, I've been so lucky all these years getting to work with gorgeous and talented gals like you.
Oh, thanks, Bob. I feel the same about you. We have had lots of laughs, haven't we?
Yeah, lots of laughs. And don't forget all those love scenes we've done together.
That's what I was talking about.
And how did the stars feel about working with Bob on his latest special?
A horrible part is when you have stepped on his line, stepped on his laugh. And it's very hard. You rehearse with no audience, so you don't know what they're going to laugh at, but you think they're going to laugh at certain things. So so you sort of plan on it. But when they laugh when you didn't expect it, he said something and they laughed, but I didn't expect it, and I went right into my next line, and he says, "Don't step on my laugh, honey."
You know, I might think it's what I'm doing is terrible, and he loves it. It's his show, so I'm here really to please him primarily and the audience.
It was one goof up after the other, but that's what the show is about, I guess.
I don't like
the results of a recent Harris poll show that the number one comedian in the United States is Bob Hope, a statistic that pleased Mr. Hope, who recalled that the first time he was named the number one comedian in America was in 1944. This is Pat Collins in Burbank.
In Dallas, inhaling. 61 degrees in San Francisco, 67 and some sun in L.A. That is Thursday's story, both for morning and afternoon, and make it a good one. Mort?
Thank you. And now let's talk a little bit more about Lucille Ball. Americans have had a ball with Lucille Ball over the years, and Pat Collins is here with part two of her conversation with Lucille Ball. Pat?
Mort, no one loved the I Love Lucy show more than Lucy herself. But after six seasons, Desi Arnaz had the chance to sell the show's rerun rights to CBS for $4.5 million, and with the money, buy the old RKO studios in Hollywood. Lucy and Desi immediately went back on the air with a series of specials, but what neither of them told the network when they signed the contract was that their apparently perfect marriage was over. Lucy and Desi stayed together for the good of the new show, but in time, even the working relationship deteriorated, and Lucy wanted to go to Broadway. She would return to television, of course, and a number of very successful sitcoms, but nothing could match the original Lucy.
I'm wasting away to nothing.
Well, you're the fattest nothing I've ever seen.
Honey, you got a closet full of clothes.
Well, all my friends have seen me in them.
Well, then get yourself a new set of friends.
Lucy, you can't do that kind of an act.
Vicky, I'm going to have bells tied all over me, and I'm going to jiggle a tune.
You know, I've been married to you so long that sounds logical.
I read that one CBS executive said, "The public will never believe you're married."
That's
that
right.
Man. Is that right?
Well, you couldn't blame him. We had our doubts after so many of them agreed with him. And so we went out to prove, and we got a little vaudeville act together, and we went out by ourselves and to prove that they knew we were married and to see if they liked us as married. And they believed us, laughed at us, and we came back satisfied. And then we put our foot down and said, "No, this is it. If you want to do it this way, fine." They said, "Oh, all right. Come to New York and let's get started." We said, "Come to New York? We have no idea of coming to New York. We want to make it out here." Little by little, all of these things came out with an audience, on film, and all of these things. So they said, "Well, we just can't accommodate that much for you. Forget it. Maybe you'll change your mind. We're still interested. Let us know." In the meantime, we borrowed some money, very little, and that's how we came to own the show.
Oh, honey, what a shame.
It's all right. I've always wanted to look like a chrysanthemum.
In his book, Desi says that you are 90% the reason why the show worked.
Well, that's very kind of him. But he is 90 plus. For the reason for the entire empire that he built became a success. And I must say he was as surprised as anybody else because we really didn't know what any of us were going to do. He didn't know that he was the businessman that he was. He had been running his own band for many years, but that was it. Now we found out that he was a great speculative showman in this business. And he also was acting, producing, running a studio. And all of a sudden, we needed more space, and he was running three studios. And instead of 350 people, we had 5,000. So all of this evolved in the 5-6 years, and it was startling, to say the least. And I think the most startled were CBS.
The network must have been devastated when you said you were going to leave television and go to Broadway.
They didn't care less what I did. They were devastated when we were getting a divorce. And so America was up in arms, and especially the Catholic people, because we had been married in the Catholic Church. After 9 years, we were married in the Catholic Church. But the letters were very nice. They were understanding. They weren't just, how dare you.
Did the network play marriage counselor? Did they try to talk you out of divorcing Desi?
Everyone did. Hmm. But not to the point of, you know, insisting on it.
Mm. Well, it's not much they could have insisted on, no.
No, but they said, well, are you going to finish your contract? Mm. And we said, yes. That was really all that they had to worry about. So we knew we were going to be divorced 5 years before we were. We had a 5-year new commitment. But you see, when we worked, we were happy. We loved our work. We worked very well together. Even after we were divorced, we worked together. So, and we had a very amicable separation. The children have always been with him and with me and with us. And things are happy now. I'm with Gary, and Desi's with Edie, and has been for 20-some years, so it's great.
They really invented television sitcom as we've known it. Other people have stolen since then and tried to match it, but I don't think they can. Very little on the air since I Love Lucy can compare with what that was.
And it stands the test of time.
It sure does.
And we'll be back to Diane in Grand Rapids in just a moment.
We'll go on the road to a small town in Arizona. We'll have a reading from the American Almanac. But our first view of America tonight is an affectionate view from Bill Curtis, one we've all shared for more than 30 years, ever since our television screens were tiny things with rounded corners. We fell in love back then, and here we are, after all these years, still in love with Lucy.
I love Lucy, and she loves me. We're as happy as two can be.
Instantly, the music brings back the feelings.
My missus and I'm her man.
For 3 decades, we have shared in the fun she had. Watched her make it to the top. And 33 years later, she's still there. Now the Museum of Broadcasting in New York has gathered her life's work to preserve it for all to enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the First Lady of Comedy, Lucille Ball.
These days, she is meeting her people, reaching out, and she loves it.
I really want to talk about you. I'm not here to teach timing or comedy or teach anything.
But they don't want to talk about themselves much. They've waited a long time to ask about Lucy.
Besides Lucy and Ricky and Fred and Ethel, who is your favorite character on I Love Lucy? Was it like Mrs. Trumbull or Mrs. Porter? I've always wanted to ask you that question.
Can you imagine how important that is in his life?
I'm just curious how strictly you stay to the scripts in the I Love Lucy series.
Specifically in the William Holden episode where you're buttering your hand. Is that something that you...
Well, you happen to find something that I did on the spur of the moment.
Yeah.
Which one did you most enjoy making and which one did you least enjoy making?
We loved our work. We hated to go home at night.
What keeps you going with seminars like this, teaching at a college?
You have to give something back. No one's training enough. There's plenty of places to be bad. There's plenty of places to be good. There's good regional theater.
Lucy knows about learning your way, paying dues, acting at age 3, drama school at 15. She went to Broadway and worked as a drugstore soda jerk,
on her way to becoming the Chesterfield cigarette girl. It was that job that led to her first film role as a Goldwyn showgirl. That's Lucy on the left with Eddie Cantor in Rum and Scandals, 1933.
You don't have to be a cold baby.
There were dozens of walk-ons, bit parts, small stuff. She was labeled Queen of the Bee Pictures. But they were not all comedies. Her fans remember well her impressive dramatic roles, notably this one.
And that did it, Pink. Nobody can ever call me a broken-down Kalapo again.
A crippled nightclub singer with Henry Fonda in The Big Street. It was in RKO's Too Many Girls that she met Desi Arnaz. She finally got top billing, and later that year, a husband. The series began on October 15th, 1951. The sponsors called the next morning to see if they could cancel out. 4 months later, the show was number one. 80% of the television audience was watching I Love Lucy. It was a ritual. Monday nights at 9.
Never mind making fun of my English.
That's English.
Was Desi always the first choice?
With me always and never with anybody else. They just didn't think that a Cuban band leader, they call him a bongo player, they just couldn't imagine with that accent how it would be regarded as an American couple. That's what they wanted, an American couple.
I have to get Ricky to say that I can keep it without letting him know that even if he says I can't keep it, I'll have to keep it because the store will make me keep it anyway.
Well, that ought to confuse him enough.
Oh, I guess I'll be able to smooch him into it.
Sure.
I did not want to be a Hollywood couple because everybody in the world thinks that Hollywood couples have everything.
Is that you, Ricky?
Yeah, honey.
Hello, baby.
Hi.
Oh, your cheeks are cold. Oh, let me take off your coat,
They
honey.
Think they have a home, two cars, and a pool. What more does anyone need? And I said, no, no Hollywood couple.
Boy. There you are. Oh, you great, big, handsome husband.
I want to have all the trials and tribulations that most people do.
Lucy?
Yes, dear?
What have you done?
Housewife in a jam. Typical situation?
Typical.
Why did that work so well?
Because I got thousands of letters from housewives saying, you have just given me an idea. From now on, I know how I'm going to treat that situation. And then when we had children, we had all that for them to identify with.
What would come as a shock to Ricky was also a surprise for the audience.
Honey, no.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It's me!
You're my father! I want you to be my mother! I mean, my wife!
It was significant television. Lucy and Desi introduced having babies to TV.
We're having a baby. My baby and me.
They said, just don't use the word pregnant. She can be enceinte, she can be with child, she can be in the family way. We could not use the word pregnant.
Ricky, this is it.
It was a national event. 44 million people saw this show, more than watched the inauguration of Dwight Eisenhower that same year, 1953.
My baby and me.
Nowadays, of course, you can use the word pregnant and you can show them how to get that way.
Vivian Vance.
God bless her. She was priceless.
We can handle this, okay?
Were you having as much fun with Viv as the audience thought you were having?
Yeah, probably more. She quit a couple of times, and we'd have to beg her to come back. But she did, and she was right there by my side.
Here she comes.
Fine, you're doing splendidly. Speed it up, Oil!
Oh, boy. Yeah, I love doing that. I love doing it with Viv. She never did anything, and we weren't trying to be funny. The writers had it funny.
William Frawley?
The way you saw Fred Mertz was Bill Frawley. Believe it or not, America, we wrote Bill Frawley.
Fred, you men tell us that we have equal rights, but you certainly don't give us a chance to act like it.
What do you want? You've got the vote, you wear pants, you drive buses, you wrestle, you go every place you please except the steam room and the YMCA. Hey, Ricky, watch this!
What was Desi's genius?
Born showman, born businessman, musician, speculative, gambler, with ideas as well as other people's money and his own. And between us, we got what we wanted. Never expected it to last this long.
Why don't you work again?
Because I can't top myself and because my friends have gone.
Wouldn't be fair to try and top them, I guess.
No, sir. You couldn't. No way. We were on long enough, and we have the reruns.
It's an unusual thing about reruns with your close friends.
Yeah.
It's like still having them around, isn't it?
Almost. Not quite.
Bill Frawley and Vivian Vance are gone now, and the marriage of the raucous redhead and the hot-tempered Cuban has been over for a long time, except on the reruns.
Thanks, Charlie. Emergency heart surgery for Lucille Ball tops the news at this hour. The 77-year-old entertainer is in guarded but stable condition this morning, and her doctors predict she'll be in intensive care for a few days and in the hospital for several weeks. Lucy complained of chest pains yesterday and was taken to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, where doctors operated for 7 hours. It was a very healthy-looking Lucy who appeared with Bob Hope at last month's Academy Awards ceremonies. And while her doctors expect a return to good health, one of the heart specialists explained the nature of her condition.
This is a condition that generally occurs in people in her age group. I told her the nature of the condition that she had and that it was life-threatening and that we had to operate immediately. In Miss Ball's condition, the beginning portion of her aorta began to tear apart, but it also involved the aortic valve, which is the at the base of the aorta. We had to replace it.
Those replacements were transplanted from an unidentified donor. A week after Abbie Hoffman's death, a coroner says the 1960s activist committed suicide by taking a massive overdose
debris flying hundreds of yards. Two other workers suffered minor injuries.
In Los Angeles, doctors say comedian Lucille Ball is still in serious condition but improving daily after last week's emergency heart surgery. Lucy was honored last night for helping young people in the entertainment field. And even though she couldn't attend, she still managed to deliver a long-distance punchline. Ruth Ashton Taylor of KCBS-TV has the story.
Lucille Ball has turned thousands of feet of Eastman Kodak film into bright, rollicking images that have brought joy and laughter around the world. That company honored her with its prestigious Second Century Award. The redhead herself was not there, but many of her dearest friends were.
I wish she were here today. The news is so good. She's recuperating beautifully. The lady is a champ, and I am very happy.
Carol Burnett and others paid tribute to Lucy. Many signed a huge get well card that will be sent to her hospital room. Husband Gary Morton says this card will be one of many.
A hospital called this morning. Ron Weiser spokesman told me that the mail is like looks like a post office. They have sacks and sacks of mail. What should I do with it? So we're having it over to the office. It's going to take our secretary about 2 or 3 weeks just to open them.
In accepting today's award for her mother, little Lucy, daughter Lucy Arnaz, told a story about the first words her mother mumbled to her after last week's surgery.
And I asked the nurse, I said, can I please just lift the mask a little bit so that I can hear what she's trying to tell me? She said, all right, a little bit. And I lifted the mask and she said, wouldn't you know, this was the day I was supposed to get my hair color done.
The Eastman Award has gone to only a few whose contribution to young talent has been extraordinary. Daughter Lucy told us of the inspiration she experienced firsthand.
I was inspired to not go into something to make money, but to go into something where I could put up with the rejection and the hard work and the long hours, if you like it enough, and I like it enough.
Because Lucille Ball has been an inspiration to so many, young Lucy accepted this major award for her mother.
That report from Ruth Ashton Taylor of KCBS-TV in Los Angeles.
Keepers at a San Diego animal park are busy this morning feeding a rare baby cow.
I love Lucy and she loves me. We're as happy as two can be. Sometimes we quarrel, but then how we love making up again. Lucy kisses like no one can. She's my missus and I'm her man. And life is heaven, you see. Cause I love Lucy, yes, I love Lucy. And Lucy loves me. Hey,
this is a CBS News special. Lucy. From New York, here is Dan Rather.
Good evening. We lost a member of the family today, or maybe she was more like a good friend. The lady next door, Lucille Ball. We knew her so well. The face, the voice, that red hair. She'd been with us in our living rooms for so many years. But we're here tonight not to shed tears for this brilliant actress and comedian. Instead, we want to celebrate her life, talk to some of her many friends, help you remember how she made us laugh. And perhaps we'll laugh one more time at that favorite episode of I Love Lucy. Everybody has one. Maybe it was Lucy in the candy factory, or Lucy stomping grapes in a wine vat. Lucille Ball. She was called the Queen of Comedy and the First Lady of Television. But most of the world knew her simply as Lucy. And we all loved her. Charles Osgood remembers.
Here she comes.
You're doing splendidly. Speed it up a little!
We did love Lucy. She could make us laugh until we hurt. She was just so funny.
All right, hit the music, Harry. But
there was more to Lucille Ball than comic instincts and timing. Like Charlie Chaplin, her funniness was art. And it came out of being like us, human and vulnerable.
Why is there too much water in here?
Oh, here, help me.
I'll help you.
Come on.
I think it was the simplicity of Lucy's comedy. She didn't do a lot of anything except be funny. She was so honest and so simple about it. The little girl in her never grew up.
As a child, she was lonely and dreamed of becoming a star. Here was the face that would be seen, it has been said, by more people more often than that of any human ever. It was a beautiful face, even then. She was, to say the least, not just another pretty face, but her prettiness did get her work on Broadway and as a model. She was a Chesterfield cigarette girl, and then a Goldwyn girl in Hollywood. Long before anyone ever heard of television, Lucille Ball was working with and learning from some of Hollywood's best.
Well, I made it this far. Doesn't the front doorbell work?
Not now. What is it?
Call off your dog.
Why?
I might bite him. Might bite you, too, if I knew who you were.
I'm the caretaker. Shut up, Diz. Lie down.
Who, me?
I fell in love with Lucille Ball, and not as a comedian. When I was very young, I used to go to Lucille Ball movies because I liked her lips. I liked the way her eyes moved around.
It was in one of the dozens of so-called B-movies she made in those days that Lucy met and fell in love with a Cuban bandleader and bongo player named Desi Arnaz. Lucy was already a movie star now, entertaining the troops and touring with other stars on war bond drives and the like. She had her own CBS radio show. Arnaz had his band, and they were apart a lot. But Lucy wanted to have a baby, and when television came along, she insisted that unless she and Desi could work together, she wouldn't have anything to do with it. The network didn't think much of the idea, but Lucy insisted.
They just didn't think that a Cuban band leader, they call him a bongo player, they just couldn't imagine with that accent how it would be regarded as an American couple. That's what they wanted, an American couple.
And so the most unlikely cast was assembled for television's most memorable situation comedy. Desi and Lucy were teamed with Vivian Vance and William Frawley as Fred and Ethel Mertz. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Ricky, this is it.
Keep it without letting him know that even if he says I can't keep it, I'll have to keep it because the store will make me keep it anyway.
Well, that ought to confuse him enough.
Oh, I guess I'll be able to smooch him into it.
Sure.
I did not want to be a Hollywood couple because everybody in the world thinks that Hollywood couples have everything.
Is that you, Ricky?
Yeah, honey.
Hello, baby.
Hi.
Oh, your cheeks are cold. Oh, let me take off your coat,
They
honey.
Think they have a home, two cars, and a pool. What more does anyone need? And I said, no, no Hollywood couple.
Boy. There you are. Oh, you great, big, handsome husband.
I want to have all the trials and tribulations that most people do.
Lucy.
Yes, dear?
What have you done?
Lucy's instincts turned out to be exactly right, as she was about so many things. She turned out to be one of the shrewdest show business minds that had ever come along.
Lay people think that showbiz is all glamour and lots of fun, and all they see is that half hour of laughs. But if they only knew the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into that half hour, and I admired her for making it all look so easy and just get the laughs.
How could you ask me? Te doy cosas que te dije que todo 60 pesos para que se pusiera el hombre, que se fuera el polvo tan
sencillo.
I Love Lucy became part of our culture, part of our lives. Remember how hard we laughed.
Oh, wait, I'll deliver it any place you want me to.
Oh, no, I wouldn't trust this to any other hand but my own.
America didn't want to let go and never did.
More than 30 years later, the shows are still being seen in reruns.
She was a cross or a combination of Gracie Allen and Harpo Marx. She could do it all. She was very feminine, yet her delivery was impeccable. And yet she could roll on the floor, take a pie in the face, and, you know, and she could out Harpo Harpo.
In real life, despite all their success, it wasn't all laughs for Lucy and Desi. After two stormy decades, and two children, Lucy Arnaz and Desi Jr., they divorced in 1960. Lucy married Gary Morton, and they stayed married for 27 years. But to his dying day, Desi would only say how great a trooper Lucy was.
You know, the one good thing about her, she never mind looking messed up or wet or with mud in her face. I mean, you know, most girls are always worrying about their hair and everything. You know, she never cared, you know, if he was funny and if he was good, too. Fine, you know.
I love Lucy and she loves me.
I love Lucy is something that only happens once in a lifetime. If you're lucky enough to have it happen at all.
Desi died of cancer in 1986, and Bill Frawley and Vivian Vance are gone now, too. Her colleagues and a grateful public gave Lucy just about every award and honor there was to give. And she kept on giving in roles both comic and occasionally tragic, until just last year when she had a heart attack and finally decided enough is enough.
Hey, Clara, it's a cousin of fire.
I can take it.
Never expected it to last this long.
Why don't you work again?
Because I can't top myself and because my friends have gone.
Wouldn't be fair to try and top them, I guess.
No, sir. You couldn't. No way. We were on long enough and we have the reruns.
It's an unusual thing about reruns with your close friends.
Yeah.
It's like still having them around, isn't it?
Almost. Not quite.
What can you do? The guy knocks on your door and gives you back your pictures, you gotta leave. But there's one thing that's nice. Lucy is gone, but she'll always be with us. I love Lucy. Everybody loves Lucy.
As a little girl, she had dreamed of becoming a star. And she was that, all right.
The dearest of women that I ever knew. It's true, I love Lucy. Like you, I love Lucy. Yes, Mom. I love Lucy.
Lucille Ball had so many friends. In just a moment, two of them will be joining us, Dick Van Dyke and Dinah Shore. And Mike Wallace will talk with a very special friend of Lucy, former President Ronald Reagan.
I loved doing what I was doing, so I felt very lucky. I'm happy that I brought laughter because I have been shown by many the value of it. In so many lives. in so many ways.
On the coast of Maine, in the little town of Blue Hill, there's a 100-year-old store. It's owned by the Bannister family. They've always insisted on the best for their customers.
This is a nice sharp cheddar.
And for themselves.
Like some berries, George?
Take the cars they drive, all Hondas.
Bob, how about that car?
And while there are often plenty of Hondas at the store, the Bannisters stubbornly refuse to sell even one of them.
Who says 35 cents will get you nothing today? You can get a whole half candy bar, an exotic plant, a compact car, or you can get a Whopper.
Just buy a Whopper and get a second one for only 35 cents.
Well, 35 cents can get you a spinner someplace hot, your own jet plane, a video game, or a big juicy Whopper cooked over a flame. Yeah, you can get a Whopper
for 35 cents,
a second Burger King Whopper
for 35 cents.
All over the country today, people were talking about Lucille Ball and remembering the many classic comedy scenes in which she starred. Every episode of I Love Lucy has been rerun more than 100 times. Somehow they never lose their appeal. What you're about to see now was one of Lucy's personal favorites and proof her comedy knew no language barrier. Well, no wonder she loved it so. Lucille Ball won many awards for her work, including four Emmys. In 1986, she was one of six recipients of Kennedy Center honors. Lucy was praised by President Reagan and cited for her significant contributions to American culture through the performing arts. Mike Wallace talked to President Reagan late today about the Lucille Ball he knew.
Were you a Lucy fan, Mr. President?
Oh, yes. Wasn't everyone?
Were you friends, you and Mrs. Reagan and she?
Yes, very much so. As a matter of fact, Lucy proved that at a time when Nancy's spirits were low with regard to some surgery that she was having, and Lucy stayed in kind of constant touch with her.
What made her comic style so unique? What was so special about Lucille Ball as a comedian, Mr. President?
You know, Mike, I don't know that I could answer that. You just accepted it and reveled in it, but you didn't try to get down and analyze what she could do, but it just was peculiarly hers and her way. I don't know of anyone you could compare her to.
Do you think that Lucy will be an historic figure in entertainment, or will time make her simply part of the passing parade?
It's hard for me to believe that with the recapping and the television films and so forth now, and the harking back it's hard for me to believe that she could be forgotten or just passed over. She, as you know, there have been, and with this tragedy and all, the flashbacks of and excerpts from some of the shows that she did. And as I say, I don't know of anyone that was better known than she was.
So she will be, in your estimation, an historic show business American figure?
Well, I think so, but I know she will as far as I'm concerned.
It's sad to lose her.
Yes, it is. But, very sad.
But it's hard to think of sadness and Lucille Ball at the same time, in the same breath.
Yes, I think the sadness is for ourselves. We'll miss her. But on the other hand, Mike, I've been raised to believe that our beloved Lucy is in a better place now. And she'll be there again to greet us when someday we join her. She's gone through a door to a world that's been promised us.
Thank you very much for sitting down with us, Mr. President.
Mike Wallace with Ronald Reagan. Lucille Ball was one of the great physical comedians, man or woman, of all time. Pratfalls, pantomime, you name it, she could do it. And she did it with the best of them, like Danny Kaye. Joining us now from Hollywood to share their memories of Lucille Ball are two of her friends and colleagues. Actress and singer Dinah Shore knew Lucy well and was once a guest star on her show, Here's Lucy. And actor and comedian Dick Van Dyke was a big fan of Lucille Ball's brand of physical comedy. He compared her today to Charlie Chaplin. Thank you both for being with us tonight. What did you mean, Dick Van Dyke, when you compared her to Charlie Chaplin? Someone earlier compared her to Harpo Marx.
Well, she was a combination of the two, but I think it's funny. I think she was, Dan, one of the last of the great physical comedians, mimes, and strangely enough, she was the first great female physical comedian. And I'm not ashamed to say that I stole liberally from her.
Well, could you give us an example of what sort of thing that you stole from her? Something like we saw in the sushi restaurant there?
Yes, yeah, the physical comedy, I think she kind of paved the way for people like me to do that kind of comedy on sitcoms. I came right after her. As a matter of fact, we shot in the Desilu Studios, owned by she and Desi, and that was the first time I ever met her. And the first time I met her, she walked on the stage and said, "I love your work." And I don't think that she realized that those four words coming from her could change a person's life, but they did mine.
Dinah Shore, you appeared on her show, she appeared on yours. You also, if I got this story straight, you played golf with her once? Hard to imagine.
Once. Once. And only once. I think they'll never forgive us at that particular country club because Lucy had never played golf, and it was early on in my golf career. And I think it was about the fourth hole, and we decided we were going to have girl talk. And we stood about, 12 feet from the front of the green with four gentlemen waiting behind us to play through. And we began, she said, "You didn't." And I said, "Well, I didn't know, but she did." And she said, "She didn't." And we went into this whole conversation and with the whole, all the gestures. And I thought these men were gonna have collective coronaries at the moment. But that was the last time Lucy ever played golf with me and vice versa.
Was she off screen as she was on screen?
No. Lucy was dead straight on. When you talked to Lucy, she gave you a straight answer, or if she wasn't particularly, she didn't tiptoe around things. I galloped through the tulips from time to time to avoid saying something directly. And Lucy would come right out and say it. She would ask you a very direct question. And Lucy could make you laugh, but life was a serious business for her. Don't you think so, Dick? She.
Oh, yes.
And when I did her show and she did mine, I'm used to live television, and if we made a mistake, you know, we could gloss over it, the scenery fell down, we'd dance around it. But Lucy was used to having things exactly the way they should be, and if you did your homework, then you'd get along fine with Lucy. I remember one time we had Chuck Norris on the show, and he told us exactly where we were supposed to stand. This is before he was a big star. And he was teaching us the art of self-defense. It's when he was very much into karate, as I'm sure he still is. And Lucy placed her foot, she had those, her legs came up to her, shoulders, I believe, and she placed one foot in her ballet shoes with the long tights on. We both had on the tights and the ballet shoes, and we're doing these exercises that he told us to do. And she said, you want me to put my foot here? And he said, yes. She put her foot there, and she said, and give me your hand. He gave her his hand, and she flipped him over her head. You never saw a more startled Chuck Norris in your life. But then she did all the other karate gestures. Now, where she learned it, oh, she said, I never did it before in my life.
This may ruin Chuck Norris's reputation forever. Dick Van Dyke, when you performed with her in the mid-70s.
Yes.
And as I once heard you tell the story, I think, she at least appeared to be nervous. Did you think she was actually nervous?
Well, we had a little song and dance number to do together, and I was very nervous about it. You know, working with legends does that to you. And she came up to me backstage and grabbed me, and I realized she was trembling. And she said, when we get out there, hang on to me and don't let go. And I was so surprised that she was nervous, and I thought, this great performer is depending on me. But I lost my nervousness and said, I'm not going to let her down. And she did hang on to me all through that number. But to this day, Dan, if I know anything, I know that she did that for me. She put on an act, knowing that I was a mental case.
And to put you at ease, she did this.
Yes, because I don't think she was nervous at all.
She cared so much about everybody,
yes,
everybody around her.
She was so supportive to everyone.
But she cared about her children deeply, and she cared about my children, and she always asked about them by name, you know, and never, how's your little girl, how's your little boy? It was always Missy or Jody. But Lucy was a very caring person with all that directness, and I remember little Lucy made her debut on our show. I believe it was her debut, and so did little Desi. Little Lucy is now taller than all of us, and beautiful. She had left one very important prop at home, and she called the house, the maid didn't come down with it, and the houseman or whomever was around didn't come down with it. Mama did. And she said, I didn't want to be backstage. I wasn't going to be a stage mother. There she was, no makeup, the hair awry, and the scarf in her hand, and she was putting it on little Lucy backstage. And she cared so deeply. She wanted that baby, as you and Bill Paley talked about so glowingly earlier, Dan. And she treasured those children more than anything else in her life.
Dinah Shore and Dick Van Dyke, thank you very much for being with us this evening. Coming up next, CBS founder and chairman William S. Paley, the man who brought Lucy to television 38 years ago, remembers how it almost didn't happen.
For clogs at their worst.
And it's for you.
Liquid Plumber is the plumber to call first. To clear out tough clogs, call Liquid Plumber first.
Them lemons, they roll. Them lemons, they bounce. I even seen a lemon drop. Them lemons smell so fresh and pretty, like new lemon fresh Clorox. Them lemons smell so fresh and pretty, new lemon fresh Clorox bleach.
Here's today's leader in big pickups, Ford. Ford leads in the important advantages that Chevy can't talk about.
Go with the leader.
Ford leads Chevy with a longer, wider, deeper box that carries more maximum payload than Chevy.
Go with the leader.
This this Ford costs $715 less than a comparably equipped Chevy, and that's leadership in solid value.
Go with the leader, Ford Trucks.
Get up to $750 cash bonus on selected 89 Ford F-Series trucks.
Cross the road, Jack, to a place with a taste that's more, that's more, that's more, that's more. Cross the road, Jack, Kentucky Fried Chicken's got more.
What you say? 11 herbs and spices make that original recipe chicken taste. No burger place, you see, could do that thing for me.
That's right, cross the road, Jack.
Well,
Kentucky Fried Chicken's got more.
Cross the road, Jack.
Test a little higher. My head really hurts. I don't care what anyone says about pain relievers. The only thing that really counts is, will it work for me? Advil does. Just one Advil is as effective as two regular aspirin, so one's usually enough. But when my head's really pounding, two Advil make quick work of the pain. Advil, it's what works for me. Before, there was only aspirin or Tylenol, but today there's Advil. Advil, advanced medicine for pain.
Lucy will continue.
Can the Knicks knock off Barkley? Can the Sixers escape from New York? The NBA playoffs, it's time to rock and roll.
I'm Kathleen Sullivan.
And I'm Harry Smith. Tomorrow we'll remember the great Lucille Ball.
Her friends and co-workers and why we all love Lucy. Tomorrow on CBS This Morning.
This is CBS.
If living with obsession is a sin, let me be guilty.
Now, your gift with any $25 Obsession for Men purchase at A&S.
This is Channel 2 Newswatch, sponsored by Heineken Amstel Light.
Hello, echoes of Lucy's laughter. Coming up tonight at 11, New York remembers as Lucille Ball dies, and fans around the world feel their loss. Also tonight, the first indictment against one of the suspects in the Central Park attack. It left a woman still fighting to survive.
The abortion issue goes to the Supreme Court as demonstrators make their case. We'll have a report from Washington on the showdown. Plus, the seven little numbers everyone's been waiting for. The combination worth $100 million at 11.
Heineken.
Amstel Light.
This
so
is
so much
it.
Better than other light beers.
It's a great imported beer.
A delicious European taste.
Nothing compares to the smoothness,
a refreshing,
the richness, or the character
distinctive
of
flavor
Heineken.
That cuts through
its
your thirst.
Its quality comes through.
There's a uniqueness to it.
Heineken is America's number one selling imported beer. Amstel Light is America's number one selling imported light beer. Why? Just ask the people who drink them.
If you
in my
ask
opinion,
me,
Amstel
Heineken
Light is
the best beer there is.
I could go
I can't
on and
say
on
enough about it.
It's a light
no matter how many beers
you're
When is sexy too sexy?
This evening. This CBS News special, Lucy, continues. From New York, here again is Dan Rather.
Hey, there weren't many bigger stars in Hollywood than Lucy in the 50s. How's this for primetime clout? In 1953, she signed a two-year, no-cut, no-cancellation contract with CBS for $8,000,000. But on the show, she was always playing the housewife. Except for the time she went to a Hollywood restaurant to see the stars and William Holden turned the tables on her.
Thank you.
get out of here.
Well, I'm not through.
I don't care. Waiter, check, please.
I'm not going to leave all this good food.
I can't help it. Put it in a sack and take it with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Back in the 1940s, Lucy was a popular regular on radio. CBS founder and chairman William S. Paley figured she would be a hit on the new medium, television, and so it was that Lucy and husband Desi Arnaz went on to make TV history. This afternoon at his New York office, we spent a few moments with Mr. Paley, who read us a personal statement and then reminisced a bit.
Lucy was beautiful, and she was lovable. She was a great entertainer and a great personality. What she meant to CBS and to broadcasting can hardly be expressed in words. She was simply in the class by herself. For my part, it was a privilege, a great privilege, just to know her. Lucy, you are the first lady of CBS. We love you, and we will miss you always.
You said she was in a class by herself.
Yeah, she was.
What put her in a class by herself?
Well, first, she knew her to do comedy better than any woman I've ever known. She's really amazing that way, and she's damn attractive, more attractive than most women by far. And bright, good company. I just thought she was a very special person.
Now, you wrote once that she agreed to move from radio to television, but only if her husband could be on the television
program
with...
That's right, exactly, yeah. And I said to her, that's silly now. Weston, he was the head of a band, and she said she had to have a place for him in her show, otherwise she'd have to travel with him in this band all over the country, in which case she couldn't do the show. So I said, well, my God, you mean that? Should I do mean that? I want to have a baby. That's the real story of it. And I can't have a baby if he's traveling around the country and I'm staying here with television. And I knew she was telling me the truth. She would have done it. She would have traveled with him all over the country. So I thought a few minutes and said, okay, you're going to stay here and have your baby. So he gave him a small part, but before I knew it, he had a larger part and a larger part. And pretty soon, he was almost as important as she was. And soon after that, he was producing the show and many other shows. He became one of the best comedy producers in Hollywood. A piece of real talent that never would have come to the surface, but hadn't been for her persistence.
It's so easy to say, particularly when someone's on television for a while and may do well in the ratings, well, this person is going to go down in history. There's no doubt in your mind that while that fades with a lot of people, that there's going to be a place for Lucille Ball in the history of television.
Right.
Always.
I think so, yes. She's our first female star, I think, that really rose to the top and became as important as she was. Getting the command of that kind of circulation in those days meant great, great popularity and great love, too, a lot of other things that went with it. I found a long time ago that if you're successful in television, whether you're a comedian or a villain, or whatever it was, had to do with your likability to a very large extent. It means an awful lot to people. And if you're very funny but they don't like you, it's going to be tough for you. And she had likability, great deal of likability. What you feel now in this country right now, because she died, tells you more than anything else. The whole country seems to be aroused by it. We're all so damn upset about it. I didn't see she was going to die, really. I didn't. I talked to her husband a couple of days before she died. He seemed quite optimistic about everything. So I sort of said, well, the poor thing is sick, but she's going to get over it, and pretty soon she'll be back on the air again. But that didn't happen. It was a crime. It was a great shock when it was announced that she died.
William S. Paley. How was Lucy to work with? When we return, we'll meet two men who worked for her. One worked for Lucy, the actress. The other worked for Lucy, the studio owner. So stay with us.
Oh, was I ever glad to see you.
Madam, I'm afraid you've mistaken me for someone else. I'm Sam, the plumber.
Yeah, I know. I need you. Are you free?
Free? What man is ever free?
There's only one little mint that's sugar-free. Certs Mini Mints. Sugar-free Certs Mini Mints. Why some people are more attractive than others.
Ready?
In a minute, honey.
It's nice to be noticed for what you wear and how you look. And if you wear dentures, it's nice to know Efferdent freshens up dentures and cleans away stains so well. With Efferdent, all they'll notice is you.
What does grapefruit juice have in common with a palm tree? They're both grown in Florida. Of course, grapefruit juice doesn't sway in the wind, but it does feel like a cool breeze. Sure, palm trees are cool and refreshing, but grapefruit juice is cool and refreshing and is much better for your health than a palm tree. Which is fortunate, because grapefruit juice is filled with fun and lively things you could never get from a palm tree. So for a cool, refreshing taste, leave the palm trees on the beach and drink grapefruit juice on the rocks. 100% pure Florida grapefruit juice.
Steal a moment to baby yourself by moisturizing with Johnson's Baby Oil. It helps seal in your skin's natural moisture.
Baby soft, baby smooth, baby fresh, oh baby you.
Johnson's Baby Oil, Lotion and Powder. Baby yourself with Johnson's.
Baby you.
From Johnson & Johnson.
I'm a high school teacher and a football coach, and from that stress I get headaches. I started developing stomach problems and went to the doctor. I found out that I had an ulcer. At that time I was taking aspirin, not Tylenol. The doctor said that I could aggravate the ulcer by continuing to take the aspirin. So I asked him what I should do, and he suggested that I take Tylenol.
Mark Cunningham trusts Tylenol. Its pain reliever is in a class by itself.
Since I've taken the Tylenol, I've had no problems whatsoever.
I Love Lucy was seen on Monday nights. So many people were in front of television sets that stores in Chicago had to change the night they stayed open late because shoppers didn't shop on Monday night. They were watching Lucy in some kind of chaos, like the time she drank too much tonic without knowing it was loaded with alcohol.
Yes, with Vitamita Benjamin, you can spoon your way to health. All you do is take a tablespoonful after every meal.
Now you take some.
Oh. It's so tasty, too. It's just like candy.
No. Look, you're supposed to like the stuff. You've got to smile, be happy.
Yes.
Now try it again.
Yes, sir. It's so tasty, too. It's just like candy.
Nope, once more.
It's so tasty, too. It's just like candy.
Going to be fine. You just go ahead.
Okay. So why don't you join the thousands of happy peppy people and get a great big bottle of Vitamita Benjamin tomorrow? That's Vitamita Benjamin.
Oh, that's fine. Now you've got the feeling. Now I'd like to try it once more, only this time faster and brighter. You ready? Go.
Hello, friends. I'm your Vitamita Benjamin girl. Are you tired, run down, listless? Do you poop out at parties? Are you unpopular? The answer to all your problems is in this little bottle. Vitamita Benjamin. Vitamita Benjamin contains vitamins, meat, vegetables, and minerals. Yes, with Vitamita Benjamin, you can spoon your way to health. All you have to do is take a big tablespoonful after every meal. It's so tasty, too. Tastes like candy. Honest.
Lucy wore two hats. the actress and the comedian we all know. But she was the first female television studio head. After their divorce in 1960, Lucy bought out Desi's half of Desilu Productions. Joining us live from Hollywood tonight are two men who knew Lucy in both of her backstage roles. Bob Schiller knew Lucy the actress. He was a writer on I Love Lucy and later on the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour and on The Lucy Show. Oscar Katz knew the businesswoman. He was executive vice president of Desilu Productions. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us. First, Mr. Schiller, what was it like to write for the legendary Lucy? And how did the show take shape? How did that work?
Well, first of all, it was great to write for such a remarkable talent. It's a writer's dream to work for somebody who can make you look good. I can recall the first time that we ever wrote, my partner and I, Bob Weisskopf, and Jess Oppenheimer, the producer, said, come on down and watch the run-through. She'll make you think you're a good writer. And sure enough, she did, and she never let us down. How was the show done? It was a remarkable thing. The first few years, there were only three writers, Jess Oppenheimer, Bob Carroll, and Madeline, then her name was Pugh, her name is now Davis. Three people wrote 39 shows a week. It was an impossible task, and they kept doing it and doing it and doing it. For all of I Love Lucy, there were only five writers ever. We joined them later. Now they have 39 writers for 3 weeks. It was such a pleasure to see her do things that you imagined and do them even better than you imagined.
But you did a run-through first, or someone did a run-through first, and then she came in and put the finishing touches on it?
No, she would always do the run-through. She was a perfectionist. She was never would ad-lib. She always had to know exactly where she was going to be at every moment and was there, and God help any actor who didn't follow her directions and was not there when they were supposed to be. And she was an absolute perfectionist, and she never did anything differently from the first time she did it, except that she would invent things as she went along. No ad-libbing, stick to the script, did it better than anybody in the world.
A writer's dream. Mr. Katz, right. When she got to be head of the studio, first woman to head such a studio, let's be candid, was she pretty much a figurehead or very much involved?
No, she was very much involved. To back up a bit, I first met Lucy when she was doing a radio show called My Favorite Husband. And when television was picking up steam, CBS wanted her to move My Favorite Husband to television, but she wouldn't for the reasons that Mr. Paley specified before. And when she did move to television, it was obviously in a show with Desi. And Desi turned out on his own to be a comedy genius. In 1964, which was 4 years after Desi was gone, I was approached by Lucy to head the studio, and my task was to get them back into production. The only show that they owned was the Here's Lucy series. In that period, I can tell you this, that she was doing her own show weekly, and she was president of the studio. And she had a dressing room office on the lot, and she did both jobs like a true professional.
Tell me about the roller skates, Mr. Katz. Wasn't there a scene with the roller skates where she took a risk and pulled it off?
There was one show that the writers wrote which ended up with her doing comedy on roller skates. And it turned out after the script was written that Lucy didn't know how to skate, let alone do comedy on roller skates. And she studied roller skating, and in 1 week, she was doing comedy on skates that an expert couldn't do.
Mr. Schiller, you mentioned that she was a perfectionist. But I get the sense here, here's a woman who can throw Chuck Norris over her shoulder. Here's a woman who can conquer comedy on roller skates in a space of a week. Was she a pretty good athlete? She must have been.
She must have been. I never had arm wrestled her or anything like that, or had any boxing matches with her. But she was in very good shape. And she, by dint of her own will, willed herself to do these things. And there were certain things that she was afraid of. I can remember she was afraid once of an elephant. But she willed herself to act with the elephant. She out-acted the elephant, of course. But she was just remarkable. I mean, there was nothing that she would not do.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There was nothing that she would not do. In a moment, a look back at Lucy and some of her 77 years. So stay here with us.
That's what's good for you. A nice, pure, thick peanut butter on dry bread. Good, huh? I'll make you another one.
Who says 35 cents will get you nothing today? You can get a whole half candy bar, an exotic plant, a compact car, or you can get a Whopper.
Just buy a Whopper and get a second one for only 35 cents.
Well, 35 cents can get you a spinner someplace hot, your own jet plane, a video game, or a big juicy Whopper cooked over a flame. Yeah, you can get a Whopper
for 35 cents,
a second Burger King Whopper
for 35 cents.
This engineer will spend the next 12 hours hurtling through the darkness in an Acura Legend sedan. He's not testing the engine or the suspension. He's testing the interior, making sure that every control is where you need it, when you need it. Chances are you'll never tune the radio at 125 miles per hour. But imagine how easy it'll seem at 55.
Italian dressings have oil, and Italian dressings have vinegar. But only one Italian dressing has the touch of ranch. Introducing Hidden Valley Ranch, ranch-style Italian. It's amazing how just a touch of ranch can turn ordinary Italian dressing into a delicious new taste in Italian. Hidden Valley Ranch, ranch-style Italian. The only one with a touch of ranch.
What makes everything so
if you took Benadryl for your allergy this morning, there's something you should know. Contact Maximum Strength Caplets work twice as long.
Gesundheit.
Until there's a cure, there's Contact.
Viewers loved Lucy, didn't we? But she was enormously loved by her colleagues in show business, too. She was known as a good person, but a blunt one. An example of her directness. She was on stage with Bob Hope not too long ago, and Hope noted that I Love Lucy is seen everywhere, even perhaps in heaven, he said. Ever the businesswoman, Lucy shot back, well, they're not paying for them. That was Lucy.
Lucy?
Thanks for the memory of the times we worked with Jeff, the years that we go back, the way you'd smile, that pretty smile at me. And suddenly attack. I thank you so much.
I love Lucy and she loves me. We're as happy as two can be. Sometimes we quarrel, but then how we love making up again.
Someone else. I'm Sam, the plumber.
Yeah, I know. I need you. Are you free?
Free? What man is ever free?
Listen, Mr. Wayne, I think it would be better if you said, you mouth off like that again and you'll be pushing up daisies.
Pushing up daisies?
Now, yes. Please, miss, we've got...
Well, wait a minute, Joe. I like pushing up daisies better.
All right, pushing up daisies.
Let's
you want to rehearse it once?
Yeah, let's rehearse it.
No, let's roll it. I know the dialogue.
Okay, roll it. Go ahead, roll it. He knows it. Go on, roll it.
Hey, John, you sure you don't want to clear this set? I hate to blow this scene.
Well, I'd rather blow a scene than lose a fan.
That's why he's been up there on top so long.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Thank you.
yes.
Everybody knows that about Mr. Wayne.
Yeah, our place is rolling.
Scene 55, take one.
Action!
I reckon I ain't fixing to beat scene talking to no jailbird.
Your mouth off like that again, and you'll be pushing up Dave.
What? Yes,
forgetting. It's new. It's brand new. I just gave it to you. And then you say, you mouth off like that again, you'll be a dead man. That's what it was. You're supposed to say you'll be pushing up Daisy.
I was just taking a long pause for effect.
Oh, I thought he forgot his line. Okay, roll him. Go ahead.
She's my missus and I'm her man. And life is heaven, you see. 'Cause I love Lucy, yes.
Only a few comedians stay funny for long. Lucy made her generation laugh, then the next, and then on and on. No telling when it would stop. Fact is, in what must be some kind of record, an I Love Lucy show has been on the air somewhere in America every day since 1951. That's an unbroken daily run of more than 30 years. Why the enormous popularity? Well, perhaps Lucy herself had the answer when she said, and I quote, "There is so much change in the world today, and so little we can hang on to, that our show is safe and seems permanent." They say that the essence of youth is believing things last forever. Maybe that's why we thought Lucy would. Come to think of it, in a way, she just may. For CBS News, Dan Rather. Good night.
I love Lucy and she loves me. We're as happy as two can be. Sometimes we quarrel, but then
Lucy,
how we love making up again. Lucy kisses like no one can. She's my missus and I'm her man. And life is
Lucy has been a CBS News special.
Hi, I'm Sandy Lynch from Wilmington, Delaware. Tonight, join Pat and his cast, Phyllis Diller and Linda Gray. Linda, can I borrow your clothes?
This is CBS.
A night of indictments. Coming up next on Channel 2 News at 11, a grand jury speaks as two teams...